a continuation of June 28th, I believe, was our last service before I got quarantined. So this is going to, you've had two Sundays to have to wait for part two. So if you go to our website, if you need a refresher from June 28th, but I'll try to recap it just a little bit. If you don't remember or you were not here then, while you're finding Psalms and James, this would be a good time for me to welcome those of you who've just joined us on our website or on YouTube. We are delighted to have you and being a part of us on the extended pew this morning. We are a covenant church family in Burton, Texas, between Austin and Houston. And if you're close by or ever pass by on a Sunday, stop in and we'll swap hideys together. Or if you live in this area and you don't have a church home, please stop in for a visit and consider staying for 20, 30 years. All right. So keep your Bible and your heart open, and we invite you to enter into our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ together. In James, let's look at James first. James chapter 1, verse 22 is the theme verse of our series, how to keep, how to guard your religion. James 1, 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You need both. Deceiving your own selves. And then the second verse is verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We looked at for several months how to lose your religion. And the way you do that is you get it stolen like Micah did because of a crisis. And you find out that the religion you had is not the religion that the Lord has revealed in his word, a religion of worship and service to him, but it's a religion that you formed in your own mind. And when you need it the most, during a crisis, during a failure, during a challenge, it'll fail you every time if it's not the true, pure religion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 37, fret not. Quit your fretting. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. When you look and see everything that's going on, when you see supposedly the injustice, no matter what side you're on, it seems like everybody is seeing injustice. When you see the unfairness of it, of a situation or of a person, when you see somebody wrong, seemingly getting by with it, don't fret yourself over that. When you're faced with a situation you cannot control, which is basically every situation that you come up with, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb in July heat in Texas. Instead, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Fret not. Quit your fret. I'm not speaking theories that have no relevance or something that I've never experienced. Please don't think for a moment that I've not fretted and got upset about something. I have German DNA programmed into my genes. I get upset when things aren't in their place. Why the Lord put a North Alabama woman in my life to balance that out. I have one place for my car keys. It's there all the time. When she loses hers, there's a possibility that it's in 45 different places. My favorite one was when we found them in the freezer. I still hadn't got that one figured out yet, but it probably had something to do with ice cream and trying to get it into the freezer real fast, you know. Fretting over something that's not perfect and not in its place for some people is just second nature. Me and the Lord, we have met often about that. Well, actually, it's more Him meeting with me. But I have to acknowledge that and give that area to the Lord in order to see a positive change take place and a more Christ-like spirit and attitude. Our text is in verse 3 of Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. It's a left eye, right eye. It's a left ear. It's a right arm, left arm, right hand, left hand, right leg, left foot. Keeps you balanced. And it keeps you balanced spiritually. Doing good without trust in the Lord, without faith, without doctrine, without the Word of God is just mere morality. It's fueled by pride. Look at the good I'm doing. Look at the good I'm doing for you. Please fall on your knees and show me how much you appreciate the good that I'm doing to you. It's pride without doctrine, without the trust in the Lord. But likewise, trust and faith and doctrine without doing good is mere knowledge. It's reading the assembly instructions of a device and never putting it together. Or giving it to Gary to put together, who never looks at assembly instructions. GW, not McFarland. I was looking at him, so that's why you missed it. It's learning how to make an apple pie and never cooking it. Now, ladies, I like the way y'all swap recipes. That's wonderful. But a recipe don't do it for me. You can't eat a recipe. Right? So that's good that you swap the recipes, but now try them out and cook them. That's what James is talking about. That's what Psalm 37 is talking about. It's having a balance. It's in your spiritual life. It's applying what you've learned. It's putting feet to the prayers. It's putting feet to the instruction on how to live out your Christianity and your faith. It's doing instead of just saying. That balances the theme of the book of James. Faith and works. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, the statements in James require study and meditation because some are difficult to get a hold of, and some of the statements seem even contradictory. I think of what Peter said about the doctrine in some of Paul's letters, where he said that some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist or distort or change the words to agree with their theology instead of with what the Word of God actually says. You see, the final authority is what they think rather than what God said. And when you remove biblical authority and you replace it with your own, you're creating that religion that we looked about with Micah. It's according to what you think instead of what God said, and it never works out. It says they wrest those scriptures to their own destruction. And that's exactly what happens. But Psalm 73 is very, very easy and simple instructions that will help us in the book of James. It's the math of addition and subtraction and multiplication and division that'll make the algebraic equations easier to understand and apply when you get there. James speaks of the school of grace. And that school is no walk in the park. It asks us to not just endure manifold temptations and difficulties and problems, but to count it joy when we do so. It's to go through those difficulties and challenges and temptations with an awareness of the presence of God in our life, the reality of His presence. The problems are still there. Christianity and faith doesn't remove the problems. It just gives us an answer to it, and it gives us the grace and strength and enabling power to go through them and out the other side more victorious and more dependent upon the Lord. But when we get to those places, if we don't apply that knowledge and apply that doctrine, we'll gripe. We'll complain about the challenge. We'll complain about the temptations. We'll fret. We'll worry. We'll pace the floor. We'll lose sleep. We'll put it on our Facebook. These instructions in Psalm 37, these commandments, are precepts. A precept is a commandment related to conduct. Johnny, we're going to go visit Aunt Ethel. Don't pick your nose, don't scratch, or make those funny noises with your underarm. Just sit there and shut up. Those are precepts. Don't look around at your son. Those are precepts. They relate to conduct. Don't do this, do this instead. Now we saw last time that precept number one was found there in verse one. Fret not thyself. Quit your fretting. Quit complaining. Quit griping. And precept number two is our text verse in verse three. Trust in the Lord. Faith. Faith in... It sounds easy to say we put our faith in the Lord. That's very general. And that's very subjective, because you can make the Lord say anything you want Him to say, but faith has to be connected to the words of God. When we say faith, the object of our faith is the Word of God. If you remove faith from the Word of God, it's faith in what you want to happen. It's faith in your will. It's saying, I want this to happen, and now I've got faith to make it happen. It's the power of positive thinking. That's not biblical faith. People confuse faith and belief. Faith leads to belief, but faith in and of itself is not belief. It is a gift received from God at salvation that enables us to connect with His words to where they become living words that move and stir our heart, not just our intellect. Once our heart believes these words, Romans 10 says, then it results in belief. It results in intellectual understanding, but you can't reverse the process. You'll never arrive at faith by intellectual understanding. You arrive at intellectual understanding by faith. So you start with faith. You will never, ever intellectually understand how a 90-year-old woman can have a baby and how a 100-year-old man can father a baby. You'll never get there, But if you trust in someone who has the power with his words to create the entire universe, you won't have a problem of getting there. And then when Isaac shows up, you'll say, oh, well, God made that happen. Faith results also in not just belief, but in trust. Not just that somebody will catch you when you fall, Bailey, or not, as the case may be. It's somebody who you completely place your confidence and your life in. Whatever you're fretting, whatever you're worrying about, is what you're not trusting in the Lord for. Whatever you wring your hands about at night and say, oh, I just don't know what this is. It's an announcement to yourself that you're not trusting the Lord with that. Quit fretting. If you trust in the Lord, you won't fret. If you place your confidence and assurance in what He's told you, what He's revealed to be true about yourself, you won't worry. Everyone's focused on the virus instead of on the Lord. Wrong thing to focus on. Quit looking at the storm and look to someone who can stand up and say, peace be still. To the storm. Trust in the Lord. Put your faith, put your confidence in Him, but don't stop there. Do good. These are simple instructions. We don't have to analyze what being good is. He's codified it. He's identified it for us in the summary of the law in the Ten Commandments, has He not? Don't murder. Don't hate someone enough to murder them. Don't commit adultery. Don't lust after somebody else in your own heart. You'll never get to the act of adultery. And by the way, be careful when you're by yourself, young folks. Yeah, I know that's as old-fashioned as great-grandparents. But guess what? Next month, I'm going to be one of them. If you don't touch the stove, you won't ever get burnt. And then when you're old enough and mature enough and married enough to touch the stove, won't burn you. It'll produce some good food. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Put them together. Instead of fretting and griping and complaining, instead trust in the Lord. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself. Enjoy God. Christianity means an enjoyment of the continual presence of God in your life. But yet the general attitude is that Christianity is something that denies you from joy. It denies you from doing what you want to do. God is this old man with white whiskers, and all he's doing is to keep you from enjoying life. Exact opposite. Nahum gives us a perfect picture of the Lord in heaven. He is singing over us with songs. He delights in life that He has created and designed life to be. And see, we've believed the lie. We believe that if you have your own way, it will lead to happiness. Somebody sold you a bill of goods. Having your own way, doing what you want to do, is not freedom, it's bondage, and it And instead of happiness, it leads to sorrow and a broken heart and misery. You don't even have to believe me at face value. Just go outside and look around at people's lives. They're destroyed before they ever have a chance to get started, because they refuse to listen to the words of God. They refuse to listen to parents. They refuse to listen to folks that's been down the road. And no, they've got to do it themselves. They've got to figure it out themselves. Well, by the time you do, you're going to have a whole string of failures and sorrows and broken hearts to mend when you do. Delight thyself in the Lord. I want to tell you something. The most enjoyable, the most happy, the most joyous way of living life is with Jesus Christ. Even when you're quarantined for 2 weeks in the same house with things. Quit reading between the lines. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you everything that you want. No, He shall give thee the desires of your heart. What are the desires of your heart for a Christian? Is it the lust of the flesh? Is it the lust of the eyes? Is it the pride of life? Is that the desire that's in our heart? If it is, you're not right with God. Or you're not saved, one of the two. The desires of the heart of a Christian is to be more Christ-like. It's to draw closer to Him. It's to know more about Him. It's to experience more about Him. It's to be able to be useful in His hand to make a difference in other people's lives, not just your own. It's to delight to get up in the morning and realize you've got a day and you don't know what the Lord has in store for you. You don't know what blessings is about to come your way. And you don't know what challenges is going to come your way so that God can show Himself strong on your behalf. What a delight it is to serve the Lord. What an act of bondage and misery it is to serve the wicked one, or to serve ourselves, which is basically very, very similar. The flesh, that old nature, has more in common with Satan than it does with the Lord. Delight thyself. Enjoy the Lord. Rejoice. Be happy. Be friendly. Quit being so stuck up. Some of y'all, and I'm not going to name any name because I don't want to embarrass any teenagers. And thank the Lord that the Lord limits that period in our life to only 7 years. Phew, that's grace to parents. But I wonder and worry about some of y'all when you're out walking outside and it rains. If too much water runs up your nose, you're going to drown. Y'all will get that in just a minute. Don't put your nose up in the air. You don't have any right to be in a bad attitude. You know what? Being happy, being sour, it's a choice.
I'm just not a morning person.
That's because you stay up till 1 o'clock. I'd be grumpy too. What we need to do is find and reconnect to that source of joy And the only source of joy is Jesus Christ. You hang your happiness on a certain situation happening. Number one, it may not happen. And number two, when it happens, you may not find any happiness at all in it. And if you do, it won't be there long. When the Lord comes, He comes to stay. And when He comes, peace stays, and joy stays, and happiness stays, and contentment stays. Unless you choose not to enjoy it. Unless you choose not to enjoy the peace that He's already given you, or the joy that He's... And you want to be grumpy so that people will go, "Oh, you poor thing, what's wrong?" Delight thyself, and He'll give you this, what you're praying for. "Lord, help me to be more like You." Verse 5, precept number, I lost count, whatever it is. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, there's the trust again. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. This isn't rub the lamp and the genie will give you 3 wishes. He shall bring to pass the desires of your heart in verse 4 that you have committed your life to. He will bring about a Christ-likeness in our life. He will use us to bring glory and honor to Him. It'll come to pass unless we throw the brakes on and hinder that work of the Holy Spirit that He's doing in us and that He wants to do out from us to affect people around us. Commit your way to the Lord. Put everything in God's hand, including what you're fretting about. Put it in God's hand. And quit watching the news so much. All it does is stir up your flesh and makes you mad. We'll get to that. That's the next, one of the next precepts here. It's designed to do that. Because you'll keep turning it on to see what the idiots are doing. But the other media on the other is doing the same thing with that crowd. And you're being called the idiots in this crowd. And so everybody tunes in to see what each of the other idiots are doing. Open your Bible and read it. It'd do you a whole lot more good. Hand over your will to the Lord. Verse 6, "And He shall bring forth thy righteousness." That's doing right, doing good. That's outwardly what's in your heart. He'll bring forth your judgment as the noonday. Doing good. Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord." See how easy this is? Rest in the Lord. Now, Brother Gary's got that down. Not GW, that one back there. Rest in the Lord. That means even though you're in a church full of people, you can just close your eyes and just drift off and have a nice rest. You see? Now, I'm just joking. He doesn't do that very often. Once or twice a sermon is all. Rest in the Lord. Now, reconnect to your source of peace. What produces the fretting? You've lost your peace. What's causing the worry, the anxiety? You lost your peace. And it's not gone. You've just chosen not to use it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have it. We just choose not to use it and apply it to the situation. The disciples had Jesus in the boat, and they choose to deal with the waves coming into the ship themselves. And as a last resort, when all their methods failed, then they went to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. It'll change that sour disposition that you walk around with. And then look at this next precept. Here it is, verse 8. cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not. Cease from anger. That's where fretting, that's where worry leads to. It leads to frustration because you can't control it. You can't make it go away. Not getting your way. You see, you're trying to exert your will over God's will. Don't work. It creates anger. And then the anger becomes a habit. And then anger never stays at anger. It moves to wrath. And then you do things that you're not even thinking of. You do things that you'd never do when you were not filled and under the control of wrath. Put your fist through a sheetrock wall. I mean, how dumb is that? Then you got to go to Home Depot and buy all the stuff to patch it up. Plus, you got to stop at the ER on the way to fix your knuckles that you scraped doing it. I mean, that really helped, didn't it? Now, the problem is, sooner or later, the fist is not going to go through a wall. It's going to go to a face. And then that becomes a habit. You can change it by quit being angry. Quit being fretful. Quit trying to throw temper tantrums as an adult when you can't get your way. Instead, trust in the Lord and do good. Put your flesh under submission to God's word and to God's spirit. Now, the key to all this is precept number 2 in verse 3, our text, trust in the Lord and do good. And that's exactly where James begins in chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Other people can't see your love. They can't see your faith. They can't see your doctrine. They can't see your holiness. They cannot see your Jesus Christ until it becomes an action that they can directly experience. Until they can get a knife and cut into the apple pie and get a fork, or if you can't wait for a fork, you can use your hand. Until you take that bite, the recipe for apple pie, the talk about apple pie, the planning for apple pie does nothing to your hunger. All of our talk about Jesus Christ is cheap until it affects another person by our actions. Trust in the Lord. Put your faith in every word that He said right here. Take Him at His word. He'll never fail you. He'll never deceive you. He'll never confuse you. The devil deals in the realm of confusion. The Holy Spirit deals in the realm of peace. Then with that faith, with that rock solid trust in Him, do good. Faith will lead to works, but works will never lead to faith. Don't stop your faith with just yourself. Unleash it so it'll affect other people's by your actions. What did Jesus do when He was here in the flesh? Really simple. It said that He just went about doing good. You see, it's Romans 2 said it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, not scaring the fool out of somebody. The goodness of God, because that's so unnatural in this world we live in. Kindness, politeness, courtesy, respect, doing good for somebody, even when they're cussing you, even when they're doing wrong, even when they're unjust, doing something good unnerves them. Because it's so unlike them. Get in this book and get this book in you. Put a firm foundation for your faith to work from. And then go out and change your world with the actions that that faith will produce. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Father, it's a simple instruction. But Lord, we so complicate it. I pray, Lord, that you would sift through our opinions and beliefs. And Lord, we'd simply take you this morning at your word. That we'd just do good because of what you've put in our heart, because of the doctrine, because of your words that you have settled in our heart, Lord. May we now live it out. May we adorn the doctrine. May we put on Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Lord, thank you for these that are here this morning. Lord, thank you for a privilege it is. And Lord, thank you for the reminders this year of what a privilege it is to meet together with your people in a place that we can worship you and express our love and our thanksgiving to you in song, in prayer, in offerings, in teaching, in preaching, in our commitments that we make to you in the invitation, in our fellowship with your people. Lord, what a privilege this is. Lord, don't take it away from us in order to show how dear it is. Lord, we want to acknowledge it and thank you for it this morning. Lord, what an encouragement it is to get around your people. How easy it is to be isolated like Elijah and think we're the only one until we get around other believers. Oh, Lord, what a lift it is. What an encouragement to go out and keep doing what you've called us to do. Lord, how easy it is to be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, as a lot was, because we've spent too much time in Sodom. Lord, what a joy it is to be in your tabernacle, to smell the incense of the prayers of the saints. Lord, to eat the bread of your word and to enter into the Holy of Holies, into your presence. God, do something in our hearts this morning. Lord, make this real and not just a Sunday morning exercise. Lord, may our lives be transformed this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the power of the words that he authored in this book. And may our faith connect and begin to be engaged into works of the Spirit rather than the flesh. Lord, we pray for the lost this morning. Lord, their problem is they're lost. Not their income, not their injustice, not their station in life, not their deprivations, not their problems, not their illnesses, Lord, not their parents. Lord, their problem is they're lost. Lord, may we stop dealing with symptoms and deal with the cause of the symptoms, and that's sin. Lord, you did something about sin. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be made sin and to die on a cross in our place and to shed his precious blood for payment of those sins. To be buried for 3 nights and 3 days and to walk out of the grave and out the other side of death to make a way for us to follow him. Lord, may we start living like we have eternal life through you. That we do have your eternal words. Lord, change the way we treat our families. Change the way we live at home. And change the way we live at work. Change the way we treat our fellow co-workers. Change the way we treat people that wait on us in restaurants and in stores. And Lord, change the way we treat people when we pass them on the street, when we pass them in the aisle. Lord, may they see something different in us, and may what they see is You. Someone here this morning who does not know You, I pray, Lord, open their heart. Lord, draw them away from sin and to You. Draw them to that heart belief in what You did for them. And then, Lord, may they swing the doors open wide and invite You to come in. Lord, as Christians, may we be reminded this morning of what You've saved us for. We ask You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.